Welcome to the Gut Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thank you so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word for you. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
What's up, church people? Look at you, huh? Just can't get enough of Jesus, you know what I mean? We all showed up and raining and stuff. Great job. How about it? I mean, how about coming together 4 days in a row? It's kind of cool. Anybody here all 3 days, kind of badge of honor, in the rain, awesome. I don't know. I feel like maybe the Spirit was moving a little bit. We were getting in the car on Monday, and I just got in the car, four kids, the whole thing, and Molly just looks at me, and you guys know Molly, and she said, is that something new? Smelling spicy. I thought, I don't know, maybe the Lord's taking the natural, making it supernatural. I didn't know what's going on, and then I had to think about it. I had put her deodorant on that day and just jumped in the truck. And I'll tell you, I put it back on tonight. Just so you know, I'm feeling spicy. But I think some things were happening this week. You know what I mean? I think it's like a secret or something. I don't know what it is. I'll tell you guys. It's a nice brand. It's great. But just a thought. We had a prophet with us for all these last days. And we made space for the Holy Spirit. And got to experience that. And now I think what's cool is those of us right here in this room and this church, we get to take the responsibility of continuing to cultivate that in our lives and in this community. There's a surge. We got young people that cannot get close enough and old, I mean, just people excited about Jesus and wanted to taste and experience and feel the presence. And now we get to carry that on. We got this extra dose of it, and we all felt it, and now I genuinely, it's just up to us, but we get to make that decision for us to carry it forward. That's who we are. We're Christians, carriers of Christ, so that Spirit's in us, and it's with us, and I just think you being here tonight is such a great example of that, and then you're going to go somewhere tomorrow and take that with you, and it's infectious, because that's who we are. So in kind of thinking of that, that's kind of where we're going to go a little bit tonight is maybe what's that look like, and man, I'm telling you, this verse in Luke, asking, seeking, and knocking is where we're going to go tonight. And I think that's maybe part of how we carry this on, this legacy of making room for the Spirit and activating the gifts that each of us have. I'm not a prophet like he is, but I'm going to do something tonight. And whatever you are, whatever you bring to this collective table, this body of Christ, man, let's do that. And be great at it and embrace it and walk in it and help other people because of it. So if you would, let's turn into Luke. Luke's a doctor. He's got a pretty cool perspective on things. It's got some strategy to it as he communicates. And just as we're digging in here, you know, it's interesting because a physical man was here. And I think maybe that made it easier to kind of wrap our heads around at times. And I think what we might have to do is kind of flex that faith muscle a little bit, because now all of a sudden tonight it's back to the unseen and whatever it is. So I just say we do that collectively. I mean, shoot, we're all in here. And if he would have said, man, if you'll run around the building 3 times, your house will be paid off. I'm telling you, we would have been running, you know. There were some large grown men that he was feeding grapes. I'm telling you. Acceleration, baby. I mean, so... Now the physical person isn't here. So we get to cultivate the Spirit of God that's active in all of us. Let's flex that faith a little bit, because I genuinely believe that's what God has. We tasted it. It's good. Yes. This is who we are. Now we activate it consistently, because that's what God does through us. So just for context, this is a cool moment. The disciples came to Jesus and they just said, man, teach us how to pray. Like, similar. Jesus, we know you're here with us now in the person, in the flesh. If everything you're kind of talking about is going to happen and you're not going to be here, then how do we pray? And so right before this, in Luke like 2, 3, kind of that whole area of chapter 5, he gives it to them word for word. That's the Lord's Prayer. And man, our Father who art in heaven, and rolls it out. Pretty cool. Jesus is like, okay, man, you asked. You're my disciples. That's the relationship we have with Jesus. He's going to give us the specifics that we need and that we're looking for. So he does that, and then right after that, that's where context is cool in the Bible. Right after he shows them word for word how to pray, he says this. Jesus gives this illustration. I'm in verse 5. Imagine what would happen if you were to go to one of your friends in the middle of the night and pound on his door and shout. This is the Passion Translation. I like how it says it. Please, do you have some food that you can spare? A friend just arrived at my house unexpectedly, and I have nothing to serve him. But your friend says, why are you bothering me? What a great friend, right? It's great that they keep reiterating friend, but then the next thing, it's like, bro, I don't know you. Like I know we're friends, but we're not friends at midnight. You know what I mean? There's a boundary to this relationship. So your friend says, why are you bothering me? It's like, I thought we were cool, man. So that's what he says. The door's locked. This is what he says. The door's locked. Like, I went through the process of shutting the house down, and this is critical, and my family and I are all in bed. Do you expect me to get up and give you our food? Kind of emphasize, I highlighted that. Our food. Like, I actually went to the store. You are ill-prepared. You did not go to the store. You were not expecting. Maybe you don't have a lot of friends. You weren't expecting somebody to stop by. A lot of reasons this could happen. But it's interesting because Jason and I were in the Middle East last year, and we're eating at this guy's house in Iraq, and he's like, he wants to show us around. And it didn't take very long, right? It's like, man, here's the kitchen, and then here's everything else in this room, right? So we'll eat in this room. This is great. We'll sit here. This is good. Because the family room and the bedroom and the movie room, whatever you may have in your home, the formal dining, it's all this room. They prepare the food, and then everything else happens in the other room. So this dad is laying in the bed, and he's like, dude, I already locked the door. I've got 7 kids on me because we share this bed. I'm not getting up to give you our food. We have a couple kids. I've got a 2-year-old, Brave, and Landry. Listen, you give them a chance to wake up at midnight, game over. They're playing guitars. They don't play the guitar. They're dressed up like unicorns. I mean, seconds. Somebody knocks on the door, over, done. We're done for a week. They're not going back to sleep. So this guy's like for real, I'm laying here with everyone. It's not just like I'll casually come out of the master. No, they're laying there together. It's a massive disruption to his flow and his life. You're asking me to wake up everyone. And then look at verse 8, though. It says, but listen, because of your shameless impudence. That's why I like the Passion Translation. Because of your shameless impudence, even though it's the middle of the night, your friend will get up out of his bed and give you all that you need. Critical. Impudence here means assurance, boldness, and forwardness. Impudence, a word I'm going to start using all the time now. I think it's great. So think about, though, like when your kids are asking you for something, there's a little bit of an impudence to this. That's how ours approach us, man. They're a little bit shameless, man. They're assured, they're bold, man. Can we have dinner tonight? Yes, we're gonna eat dinner, even a snack. They're pretty confident they're gonna get a snack. So there's something to this. They're confident. There's this impudence about them. There's a confidence coming towards us when they're asking for something. And the Amplified version, this is interesting. It says, "I tell you, even though he won't get up and give him anything, just because he's his friend," like the bro card doesn't completely cover this. It's not the fact that they're friends. That's not what qualifies this. Loyalty had nothing to do with it, but because of his persistence and boldness, he'll give up and give him whatever he needs. That's where we're going to go tonight. We've experienced the Spirit of God these last few days, and now it's on us to live like this. This is how we come to God. We come boldly to the throne of grace. Look at verse 9. It says, so it is with your prayers. Man, that same kind of boldness. It's not the fact that you're buddies. It's the fact that you're persistent. Ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll discover. Knock on heaven's door and it will open for you. And listen, it doesn't say immediately. That's what's interesting. It says one day it will be open for you. Every persistent person will get what he asked for. Every persistent seeker will discover what he needs, and everyone who knocks persistently will one day find an open door. We ask because we need to receive, we seek because we're going to discover, and we knock because there's open doors of opportunity. This is where we're at right now. It's what we get to do. He tells them word for word how to pray, and now he's now when you talk about cultures, how you do things, this is the culture of our prayer. This is the tone I want you to take. This is the posture I want you to be in as you approach this throne. Ask, seek, knock. It's interesting. Ask, seek, knock is an acronym for ask. So it makes it fun for you in your notes. Highlight that or put a star next to it. So we're going to go here just for a minute. You ask because you want something. That makes sense. We had some magazine salesmen come to the house. They're good. I don't know if you've been approached by the pros lately, but I bought a bunch of magazines. And then Molly came home and told me it was a scam, and I was not happy because he was good at asking. And I thought, man, I mean, I've got magazines for all of you somewhere, but it's weird they never came. They never got delivered to our house. But I was going to help this kid go to college and all this kind of stuff. It's all good, but the asking. We ask because we want something. So it's he's breaking it down. I want to talk about ask, seek, knock for a minute here. Psalm 23:1, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. But here's, I think I've flipped that. Like, man, I'm not supposed to want. You don't have to want because you can ask. Psalm 34:9, oh, fear the Lord, you as saints. There's no want for those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. John 15:7, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you will ask what you desire and that shall be done for you. My Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. You'll be my disciples. There's this theme and this flow. I'm telling you, just in studying this for the last week or so, it's been unbelievable. I get so excited about just the thought of asking my Father. You don't have to want because you can ask. That's what we have. We've got the code to punch in to receive, but it requires us asking. That's what he wants us to do. So then we look at it and say, okay, now I'm going to seek. Here's how I'm going to seek God. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven, and I'll forgive their sin, and I'll heal their land. Man, it just keeps coming back to the responsibility that we have to walk in as Christians. Man, I've got to seek. Man, if you'll seek my face, if you'll genuinely ask, this is what I want to do as your Father. You just got to ask me. You just got to seek. Man, you're seeking because you're either at a loss or you've suffered a loss. Man, you're seeking to discover. Man, I'm at a loss for my next step. I'm at a loss for how to handle this situation. Man, I suffered a loss. That person meant a lot to me, and they're no longer in my life, so I'm seeking to discover some restoration. I'm seeking to discover some healing. So, man, these verses, this is how we seek. Proverbs 8:17, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. We just start lining our life up with the word and the promise as we ask and we seek and we knock. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please him. You know this. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I love that. There's two stipulations. We got to recognize that God's real. We got to know that God exists. And then the second thing that he really wants us to do is know that he wants to reward us if we'll just come after him. I'm seeking to discover God at another level every single day. Pastor Bill was just talking. He said, man, you find that kind of a lane. God, I just want more of you. God, I just want more of you. That's the lane we live in. Right now and forever. Oh, man, the prophet was amazing. I know. How great is it? Today I get to seek God. Today I get to carry on that spirit and the power that we experience. I've got to give that to other people. I've got to be seeking him. And then last, we knock. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. He who promised is faithful. You knock because you need something. We ask because we want. We seek so that we can discover. But then, man, you knock because you need something. And I'm going to go here for the next couple minutes, but man, what do you need from God right now? And I need something. There's something that's not currently there that I'm in need of. So I'm going to knock. And it talks about that persistent knocking. You got to think about that guy at midnight, and he's just standing there at the door, and it's kind of the rat-tat-tat. Then he gets creative with it, rat-a-tat-tat-tat-tat, and you get kind of creative, and you're dropping a little beat, and he doesn't answer, and then he starts yelling at you, and then he cusses at you, and then he reminds you about the kids, but I just keep knocking. Because he's not going to answer because you're friends. He's going to answer because of your persistence. It's amazing. Matthew 24:13, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. Boy, there's people that need to be saved. And I think our endurance helps them become saved. That's the persistence. That's the life. I thought about this. There's a lot of sales guys in the room and guys that kind of get after it that way. So if you just kind of look at the nature, it's interesting what we naturally do. Statistics will show, this is cool, only 10% of people in a sales position make more than 3 contacts. 10% of people. So if you're willing to persist in your sales, man, I'm just going to call that guy again. I'm going to shoot that guy another email. You know what? I'm going to stop by the office. I think I'm going to call him again. You just entered into the top 10% of people that are persistent. Most of them won't do that. 90% of people will make 2 contacts or less. So if we just kind of get this mindset of persistence, man, think about all the areas that it factors into. So look at this. Only 10% of the people are willing to do it. And watch. 80% of sales are made in the 5th through the 12th contact. Some of these guys that have done very well in here just smiling, it's like, hey, that's how we did it. 80% of the sales are made in the 5th through the 12th. It's like, well, I don't want to be annoying. Well, you don't want to get the sale. Well, God, man, I don't know. God's got bigger fish to fry than me. You don't want an answer. Man, we're seeking. We are asking and seeking and knocking and persistent about it. There's an impudence about it. Oh, because there's a confidence that comes with it. It's my dad. Look at this. They're going to take it to the father level here, which changes everything. Verse 11 says, let me ask you this. Do you know of any father who would give his son a snake on a plate when he asked for the serving of fish? This one's funny. Verse 12. Do you know of a father who would give his daughter a spider when she asked for an egg? I thought about this. They're making a strong point here, but I had some funny ideas. We got Halloween coming up. I got all these little girls. I'm just picturing them screaming till they pee. All the stuff that you want to do, and I don't think that's exact. I think that would be fun. This is not. So they're making a point here. Of course not, it says. Of course not. We would never do that. Verse 13. If imperfect parents know how to lovingly take care of their kids and give them what they need, how much more will the perfect heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit's fullness when children ask him? We're imperfect, and we love our kids. So then you take this perfect father, and you put that in this position of somebody asking and deeply seeking. Now that you went dad on it, it changes everything. God the Father, it's what he wants to be known as. And I think it's interesting that it ends up being. After all that, it gives us this whole explanation, and where it lands is the Holy Spirit. It's like, oh, wait, if I could just get the Holy Spirit, man, that might be better than a service with a bona fide prophet. I got the Holy Spirit. That might be better than that blank check we've been hoping for. Man, all of that asking and all that seeking, all that knocking ended up with the Holy Spirit. So what it ended up with is we get the power. Come on. That's where it all comes to. Man, that loving Father is not going to withhold the Holy Spirit. Jesus was so clear. I got to go. I'm going to be at the right hand of the Father. I'm going to listen to everything you ask for. But what's going to be here is going to be better, and it's going to be the Holy Spirit. That's what we were promised. So that's what we get when we ask, seek, knock, and then everything falls into line. It's cool. It takes it to the Father realm. I think about our girls coming to us. Our middle kid, Coop, loves. She's kind of hungry right now. She's on a team. It's called the Unicorn Sparkle. It's a great dominant name. It works. Unicorn, and then we do jazz hands. I said that they, but it's we do jazz fingers, and we yell sparkle real loud, and we're undefeated. And I don't want to go there. There's other people in the church that brag about their kids' soccer stuff, and I don't want to do that. I'm just saying we're undefeated. You know what I'm saying? So But she's kind of got this like hunger right now about it. Like, we'll be coming in from the car and she's like, you want me to carry a heavy one? I'm like, oh, okay. Sorry, you play half the game. I guess maybe you should carry the heavy one, you know? And then we'll go to the pull-up bar. And she goes, 64 seconds last time. I'm like, yeah, you're counting pretty fast. But we want to we're trying to beat it. She wants to get better. It's cool to watch. So then as dad, as father, I'm watching her ask. She's like, man, can we go practice? Of course. Man, can we do something that's going to help? Man, I start seeing that as a dad, as an imperfect dad. All I want to do is set her up to fulfill her potential. Okay, so now let's go back to perfect dad. Man, we're putting some effort into this. Man, we're asking, we're seeking, we're knocking, we're hungry. We have an experience like we had these last few days. God, I just want more of you. Guess what that dad wants to do? Man, your heavenly Father wants to pour it out in loads. But boy, we got to ask for it. All I want to do, I'll send Cooper to the greatest soccer academy in the world because she wants it right now. That's what God wants to do. It's like, no, I want you to win. But so here's what's interesting, though. I start seeing a little area where she can work on. Man, I'm going to focus on that. But listen, when that happens to us, it's like, oh, I don't know, maybe I missed it. Because I was asking God for something, but what came back to me was the form of a little extra effort. What came back to me was, here's the next step that you have to take, which is probably inconvenient. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, shoot, I don't know if, is that a yellow light? No, stop. Yeah, listen, be wise. I'm just telling you, I think what God's going to give us is the next step, and a lot of times it's going to be some effort. I think about the woman she's about to lose her sons. It's crazy. She goes to Elisha. I'm in debt. Her husband had died. She's in debt, and she just says, listen, because we're in debt, what they can legally do is take my sons from me. And she presents that to Elisha. Elisha's great. He's like, well, let's fix it. What do you have in your house right now, currently? I got a little bit of oil. You know the story. But what's interesting is it wasn't like, hey, here's $100. What do you currently have in your house? What do you have in your house? And then here's the effort it's going to require for you to get the blessing. She asked. She's seeking. I think she sought him out. Elisha, hey, this got to happen today. They're going to take my boys. Not playing. Knock, 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 knock. Impudent. Knock, 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 knock. Okay, here's what it's going to take. You got something there. You've got to go collect jars from your neighbors and then bring them back. It says she brought them back and shut the door. Got the chaos out. Here's our house. Here's where this miracle is going to happen. And starts filling up jars. You know how it goes. Filled them up until there were no more jars, and that's when the oil ran out. So I got to think, she was willing to take the step. God, I'm seeking you. Then he gives you the step. I just got to think, it was probably a little bit awkward going to neighbors and just saying, here's what I need your pottery. I know you love that plant, but it would help me not lose my sons if I could put oil where that plant currently is. I know you have a goldfish, and I'm just telling you, Binky's going to be fine. We got to fill the freaking oil up, okay? So there's that. But then I think about the ones that were too awkward. I don't know this. It's like, oh, that neighbor's a jerk. Let's not ask them. And that could have been another vat of oil, but they would have had to embrace the awkwardness that it would have been to ask for that one. It's great to know the end of the story. It's like, no, can we borrow a donkey and 20 carts and just get every possible thing we could ever fill up? So props to her, she did it. Apparently she got out of debt and kept her sons. But then there's always the, okay, God, I'm in. And what if we just said today, I know that that's part of this process. That's proven so many times. I know you want to get your healing, but you're going to put a little mud in your eye and the water's dirty and there's a step. There's all these steps, and it's amazing. So now that we know that, we kind of got to see how this rolls. Man, I want my daughter to be better. There's a step that you're going to have to take to get better. So now that we know that, what if we just decided today, I am in and I'm going to do it I'm going to go extreme on it. God, I know that's the step. We've been taught about being second mile people. I'm going to go further than expected. I'm going to exceed the expectations because I know what comes on the other side of that. I know how God thinks. He wants to give us more. He wants, eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard kind of stuff. So that I'm embracing this process. I'm going to do it to the extreme because that's what God has for us. One thought. Again, I come back to, it's a little bit easier when somebody's here in the flesh. But But what if God's telling us, what if he's telling you specifically to do something? And because it wasn't a person doing it, it's kind of just that little stirring and we kind of delay a little bit. But I've just been thinking, delayed obedience is disobedience. And there's something to that. I just think because timing is so critical in the kingdom. It's not time. Oh, God, I thought this would happen in 3 weeks. No. Timing. So we're quick to run around the building if somebody told us that and we were feeling it. But, man, if God tells you something a little bit out of the ordinary, sometimes we hesitate and we delay. Man, let's be so quick to respond and respond quickly so that we can actually tap into the timing that is perfect. Another thought here. As we're talking about this, we're asking, we're seeking, and we're knocking. And I think what the devil wants to do is the devil wants to become the inner voice that talks us out of asking of our Father. And it's interesting, you know, smart family people will talk about we get to become our kids' inner voice, and it's absolutely true. Man, your kid's taking a test. You want them thinking, I have the mind of Christ. I am smart. Man, some boy tells them they're not pretty. They're thinking, oh, no, I already know I'm pretty. I have my parents' inner voice in me, okay? So what we get to do is the same thing. What the devil wants to be is that inner voice, and that's where we have to take thoughts captive and fight thoughts with words. We know that. So I'm with some guys, and they're talking about a trip that they took to Israel. I'm intrigued, and he said the coolest thing we saw was maybe the area that they assumed to be where the battle of David and Goliath actually took place. Classic, we've heard the story. But he said, what's interesting is we actually saw the valley, and all these historians are seeing it and looking at it, and now what they expect is that to get there, I didn't know maybe how it started, I just know there's Goliath, there's the Israelite army. I didn't know what happened before that, but they said based on how everything's laid out, the Israelites would have been on the offensive and they would have been drawing the Philistines into that valley because it gave them a tactical advantage against the Philistines. So it's the Israelites' idea to get them in this space. They're on the offensive. It's like, well, we have the advantage. They're about to attack, and one thing happened. They saw Goliath. And now all of a sudden, all of this strategy, and you've got an entire army that's paralyzed by one person, one voice. Goliath comes out, and it's something they've never seen before. He's larger than anybody they've ever seen. The stories of him get crazy. He's shooting lightning bolts out of his eyes. All the Goliath Braveheart stuff is what they're assuming and hearing. And then he starts speaking like that. It's like, well, people don't talk to us like that. Calling them names and calling out their God defiant. He's not getting struck down. Everybody freaks out. All of a sudden, that one voice changes from them being on the offensive, and now the whole army's paralyzed. One voice. See, we've got an opportunity here to ask and seek and knock, to carry on this, the power of the Spirit that we all know is available to us. But then we've got a little inner voice like, ah, but what if it doesn't work? What if I pray and that doesn't happen when I think it would? Or we've got outside voices that are trying to make their way in because somebody told you that you couldn't do it in your past. You have a relative right now saying you shouldn't start that business. There's people that doubt you or you doubt yourself. Either way, there's a voice keeping you, keeping us from doing everything that God's calling us to do. So it's amazing what had to happen. Another voice had to come in and counteract Goliath. So it's wild that David actually comes in from the countryside and doesn't know the context of what got them there. Oh, he probably walked up and saw the tactical advantage. It's like, oh my gosh, why are we? And then he hears Goliath talking. And then this is interesting. He calls him an uncircumcised Philistine. I don't know if he saw that for himself or just knew it was true. But either way, as soon as that became apparent, this is good. If you can get past that, I'm going to tell you so many funny things later. However he got there, as soon as he realized that he's uncircumcised, all of a sudden it's like, whoa, stop. That means he's out of the covenant. Oh my gosh. Guys, you have the tactical advantage. He's out of the covenant. It doesn't matter how big he is. Give me a rock now. He's out of the covenant. He can't win. He cannot beat us. I know what God, I've been spending all this time with these sheep and I'm going nuts, but I know God because of what I've been doing. And I realized it out of the covenant. So his voice, think about this. He convinced Saul to let him fight him. Because Saul all of a sudden is hearing a voice that counteracts what Goliath was saying. I'll kill him. Oh yeah, I killed a bear, a big one. Can I represent the entire country and maybe we all die if I don't beat Goliath? Go, right? That voice had to change. And I think just where I would go tonight, what I would challenge tonight, is let's start crafting the voice that creates what we're expecting. Let's craft our voice. I know what the word says. I'm going to make sure that's exactly what comes out of my mouth when I say it. That's what I represent. Those are the words that come out of my mouth. I'm crafting my voice to counteract any voice that's trying to come at you. We know his nature. We know he's the Father. We got to silence the voice. So four little thoughts here. Number one, what are you believing for? And I'm telling you, you may not know that answer tonight, and that's okay, but I kind of want you to know it by like tomorrow. What are you believing for? It's amazing. Pastor Gustavo asked that question multiple times. Man, what are you believing for? Man, baby, good answer, right? Some people didn't want another baby. It's great. It's gonna be a win. Okay? But how like we know that God gives us what we ask for, and then we're not ready to answer that question? Man, what are we believing for? Part of it can be, I understand, sometimes because we're not hungry. Man, I've had a little success. Man, I'm probably gonna eat the next meal. But what are you believing for? Jason Kelce with the Philadelphia Eagles, he's giving this great speech after they won it. And he said, an underdog is a hungry dog. And he yelled it. And he was wearing like a dress. You remember that? It's unbelievable. An underdog is a hungry dog. We have to stay hungry. Man, I just want more of God. So I'm going to pursue it. I'm going to go after it. So I have to be believing for things. This is what I'm believing for my family. This is what I'm believing for the business. This is what I'm believing to take place in this church. I'm believing for unity of the church. What are you believing for? Number two, we got to realize the devil wants to cut our legs out from under us before we really walk. He wants to be your inner voice to keep you from getting that pace and finding your rhythm and starting to run. That's what he wants to do. We have to know that tactic. So because of that, number three, we have to silence the voice. And that's where this comes full circle. Now that we've silenced that, we pray and we ask audaciously with impotence. God, I want more of you. I want all of you I can get. It's everything you've ever heard from the stage, and we make it so personal. I think if you think about your life, the life you're living right now, I've heard it said before, man, it's a result of statements that you've made about yourself as a life that you're living today. I would say the prayers that you've prayed have created the life that you're currently living. And it's funny, this is interesting that I thought this, but I remember Sean Schaefer telling the church, we've talked about it before, but he graduated high school and prayed for friends so that he could be happy at this internship we were going to go and do. And I thought about that prayer that was prayed 20 years ago. And I think about the friendships that we have today may very well be a result of a prayer that he prayed 20 years ago. Close, family-like friendships that I believe he prayed into existence. And I just wonder what that might need to be for you. What does your son need? What's your daughter need? What's your family need? Man, we're asking God for it, unashamedly. Craig Rochelle wrote a book. It's called Dangerous Prayers, and we're just going to live dangerous, and it's pretty good. But a statement that he made, safe, lukewarm prayers don't draw us closer to God, and they don't help us reveal his love to the world. Our prayers move God. I think a little bit of it, though, is first, we got to be moved. Man, I'm moved with compassion, so I'm going to pray for change. I'm going to stifle that other voice that wants to try to get in there. We have the advantage. We're not going to allow ourselves to be paralyzed by a voice that says otherwise. What a trick. Man, let's not be tricked. We got to experience the very presence of God. And now we get to carry it on. Last thing I'll say, you know, it's interesting because it's not like I'm going to middle management and saying, hey, man, it'd be great if you got an upgrade. We're going to the creator of the company. I'm not trying to come in at a different level. We get to go straight to your creator, and that's where we make our request. We get to skip these levels. It's amazing. We're submitted to him, but we get to skip the way the world naturally does it, and that's where that blessing is. Molly and I prayed for a house, and it started 3 years ago. We moved in 2 months ago. And I say that because I think that it comes back to that time issue. And here was what we prayed: the right house, at the right price, at the right time. And I just want you to know, I mean, we were persistent in it. And I know there's so many things that you're believing, but man, it was the right house. It's perfect. It was the right time. We moved in the week that school was starting at our girls' brand new school. The price, they came down $40,000. I mean, just all of the stuff. And I would have said, I'll tell you what would be great is if we moved in 3 years ago, but it was perfect 2 months ago. And I'm sure there were days where we weren't our best in that faith walk, but I'm just telling you, man, every single day we get up and get to pursue and ask and seek and knock because there's a discovery to be made. Because there's things that you know that you need, and I'm just telling you, our Father, your dad, is just excited to tell you the next step. But let's not be afraid, let's not be offended when the next step isn't what we thought it would be, or it's more difficult than we thought, but what that's actually going to do is make us better because we have to get through the difficulty. He knows, and he's with us. Let me pray for you. God, we love you so much, and I just thank you for who you are, God. Thank you for this church. Thank you for this house. And God, I just pray tonight, God, that as we need to ask, God, I pray that you'd show, man, what are we believing for? I pray that we'd stay hungry, God, just in actual desperate need of you because we want more of you. God, and I thank you that you freely give us your Holy Spirit. So God, I pray for the confidence to ask. And man, I pray that you show us how to seek. And then, God, I pray that we're persistent enough to keep knocking.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.